All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, and his first chance to check out Supernova Studios. It's Richard Bowes. How you doing, man?
I should say I'm not literally there.
No.
We're still benefiting from the wonders of technology. I'm not literally there seeing it, but I've seen what you've all seen in the YouTube videos. So I can see the Hofner bass. I can see the acoustic. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Sorry. Hello, podcast listeners. Hello.
Yeah. And I thought I'd grab you on today because, it's been a mad week. It's one of those weeks when both Liam and Noel are both playing live, which is pretty rare. It doesn't tend to happen too often. And it's one of those times when it's like, oh, well, they're both playing live. And guess who went to see both of them?
It rarely seems to happen. It does seem to fall like that sometimes. Like, I remember back in 2019, it was like, I was seeing Noel at Heaton Park on the Friday, and then the offer came up to see Liam at the Hackney Chapel came up like for the Wednesday, like came out the day before. It was like, can you have too much Oasis in 1 week? And obviously the answer to that is no. Obviously it's no. So Teenage Cancer Trust at Albert Hall on Thursday, and then on Monday, Kentish Town Forum to see Liam Gallagher and John Squire. So yeah, although ironically, I haven't had a lot of Oasis tunes. It was like, I probably had, 10 Oasis tunes, maybe even less than that. I've heard
between
the last week
or so. Yeah, between the two, there's not that much Oasis, is there? Yeah. Mm. But no, that's cool. Well, I didn't get to either of those gigs. I did, although I did see Oasis this week, although it was Oasis Supernova, which is Ian's band. So I saw them I saw them as Columbia when Ian's band was called Columbia up in Glasgow, when we did the Tony McCarroll show in Glasgow, and I watched them then. Now this is now Ian's now moved to Manchester region and reset this up, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to talk to you about it. I'm going to drop in now my clip of my interview with Ian at Southampton.
I can't speak English as well, so
All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, and I'm in the very pristine dressing room of the 1865, and it looks like it was decorated in 1865, but yeah, I'm here with Ian, aka Tall Noel. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you, mate?
All good. This is awesome, mate. You said, come up to the dressing room, but it's a bit shit.
This is pretty shit.
Also, what are you used to? Are you used to like lavish fucking flowers and stuff everywhere, right?
Well, there was actually some flowers, but Aiden has taken them on stage, hasn't he? On the Shea Lounge, yeah. But it's people obviously at home can't see this or wherever they are taking their podcast from, but the art does look like it's from 1865, doesn't it?
It's weird. Yeah, it's like all this. Well, I was going to say impression. I haven't got a clue about art, so I don't know what sort of style it is. But yeah,
this looks like something of Joe Rogan. This DMT
is very
picture,
weird,
whatever
isn't
that
it?
Is. Yeah,
yeah, very weird. But anyway, well, we're here because you guys are Oasis Supernova, and so you played with me when you, under the previous band Columbia, when we did the Glasgow show with Tony McCarroll.
Yeah.
And this is my first time seeing you. So what happened? Like, you moved, right? And so hence, this is the new band.
Yeah. So I put my, got a new job, basically. Put my notice in at work on the Wednesday, and then Boris Johnson put us into lockdown on the Sunday. And it was a bit of a fucking mental time to be changing jobs and moving areas. But we moved down to Halifax and basically wanted to, knowing what I'd learned from being in Columbia, which, great lads, but we were, great song, as you know, but it was really like, what I wanted to do was match the visual aspect of an Oasis gig in time with the band playing on stage, which is what it's taken 4 years to get it to that point. It's been ridiculously, a lot of hard work. John drives it a lot from the drum stool.
Yeah.
But basically when we play, Liam and Noel are singing on stage, you know, and we go, and the venues that that we use the videos from are Wembley 2008, the Etihad, the main road, Nebworth, Glastonbury, Earl's Court, and then we use a few of the official videos as well, because it's just better to have HD. And when when Oasis, when Ignition announced that they're going to do a 4K re-release, it's like, fucking yes, I've got some decent footage to use. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, no, that's cool. That's great, man. That's good. And this fucking, there's what 500-600 people down there. It's mad. Mm-hmm. Is that typical sort of venue size you guys are playing?
I would say we've gone from 2023 about 200 people average crowd to now we're at about 350. Next year, hopefully, about we're going to try and step up to 500. But we're
playing the Etihad next year.
Yeah, at the Etihad. Yeah. But
the canteen.
We've started playing with John. Is really experienced in playing with brass bands. He's a really experienced brasser. Been brassing a lot. Yeah.
And, I'm a brass band geek. I am a brass band geek.
John's written basically because the parts don't exist. We tried to get them through the collectors group.
Yeah, yeah.
The parts for like Round Our Way and all those big Nebworth show.
Yeah, yeah.
Parts, but John and Penny, his wife, have basically written and scored all of those all those tunes. And then there's some footage of us on our Instagram.com/TheOasisSupernova or Facebook.com/TheOasisSupernova. Give us a follow.
With
Upper Mill Brass Band. So we did Round Our Way and. Don't go away.
Yeah, don't go away. Round our way, don't go away. Some might say whatever.
All around the world.
The five parts that was called.
Five piece. And because I think when they did the Be Here Now tour, there was only three, right? So you were.
No, we had nine. We had nine brass players.
Yeah, but when they were playing like the G-Mex, we were saying this last week, Oasis only had three on tour.
Well, we scored it across nine parts.
So you're basically saying you guys are better than Oasis, right?
Basically, yeah.
You said that.
Must be making Don't some put... money. They have to sing with a Welsh accent.
Don't put words in my mouth, James, but that's exactly what I'm saying.
No, that is cool. But we said we haven't got the brass band tonight, so that's not. But you don't get that for Southampton.
It will be next year.
Next year. Next year. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Going to bring them down next year.
That's fantastic. It's very exciting.
Yeah, take them on tour with us.
So tonight we've got the Stone Roses just played. Absolute Stone Roses. They were blinding.
Yeah.
We've got the Smiths coming up next, and then you guys headlining.
So
so you'd like to do that sort of, you know, the three bands to bring the whole Manchester experience, basically.
Yeah, this is the third time that we've done this lineup here. And then we're doing it in Rugby and Wolverhampton and Leicester.
Leicester.
Got some big shows around when the crowd, you know, when it's a venue that warrants it, we try and bring a bigger show.
Yeah, bring a proper night. Yeah. That's great. Because we were saying, like, you know, normally, like, you get in at 7 and, like, there's no fucker there. But actually, it was just, like, busy from, I mean, the Roses came out at, like, 7:30, 7:40 or something. But it's just jammed, yeah, absolutely. So we were saying, like, maybe, because I was maybe expected to be the Smiths first, then the Roses, then Oasis. It's almost like the history of Manchester music. But actually, you put the Roses on first. Maybe is that to, like, get people in and get people drinking?
That's the first time they've done it.
Yeah, normally it is that way around. It is normally the Smiths, the Joneses first, then Absolute Stormers, then
us. Yeah.
Sometimes we swap with the Roses, don't we? Or we have done previously.
Yeah, but I think we worked out that Oasis always have to go on. Always kind of top Oasis of the bill, aren't they?
Yeah,
you need to finish with Champagne Supernova, don't you? Whatever the night is. Well, we're not doing that tonight. It's going to be going to be the girl in the dirty shirt to finish off with.
And we were saying that, like, I said to you on text, I think, like, oh, so is the John Squire from the Roses and your Liam going to get on and do Just Another Rainbow, maybe?
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Red and yellow.
Going to do From Liverpool to Mars.
Yeah. No plans for that?
No. Definitely
we could get him up to do Champagne Supernova, I guess, at the end.
That'd be good fun. Yeah.
But kind of like, I do all the Noel parts on it, so it means I'd have to give up the Noel bits for somebody else to do.
It wouldn't be
a Squire bit. Can't have it.
and having seen the
put his Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
But having seen the footage from the gigs they've been doing recently, it's pretty like chill. You know, I don't think it doesn't feel like that those tunes have really gone to the level of like people going mad for them. Like, I think Mars, Liverpool, Just Another Rainbow have been like, you know, a bit busy, but most of them has just been people just sat and watching, really.
I just saw the Jonathan Ross version footage from the weekend before.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounded a lot better live than it did on the record. Yeah. I don't know, it just sounded a bit... Maybe it's just, you know, when they're all doing different parts from all around the world and then it all comes together, it just doesn't have the same chemistry as when they're actually, as people are actually performing together. Yeah. But I thought, because a lot of the time TV recorded tunes sound a bit shit, but that actually sounded really good.
Decent. Yeah. They do tend to have a decent setup on Jonathan Ross.
Yeah, cool.
All right, so any what have we got? Surprises in store? You're going to drop in a bit of...
Luke's got the set list there, I think.
Oh, Luke's got the set list, has he? How are we doing? Well, you're starting
it's all bangers tonight.
Starting with Who Put the Weight of the World on My Shoulders. And then we got a bit of Can You See It Now? I Can See It Now. Cigarettes in Hell, yeah. Oh, very good. That looks great. So, yeah. So looking forward to it. I mean, it must be difficult. I know when with Columbia, you like used to play Gas Panic and stuff like that. But I suppose it's
talking
like...
about that, yeah.
Yeah,
but how you fit the deep cuts in? You could do it when you're doing like a 2-hour set, like we usually always play. Do you know what I mean? Which, but even that, although it's a number one single, you kind of see people starting glazing over.
Yeah, it's a long song, isn't it?
But and then All Around the World's been a bit of a hit for us recently, isn't it?
Yeah,
I was amazed how well it goes down.
Yeah,
it's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Well, that's Stand By Me. Stand By Me's had like a bit of a resurgence. It's not on the list, but.
Yeah, we were doing it.
Because I don't know the words.
It's so authentic. Chris actually looks at me quite a lot of the time. Yeah. I have to mouth words to him, just like Liam.
Just like Liam.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I give him a nod and say, yeah.
But we were
saying, no.
Doing that on whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
Well, we were saying.
And she's electric, to be fair.
Well, pretty much all of them, then, isn't it?
Mother, brother, sister, daughter, what is it? Father, son, the Holy Ghost.
No, but we were saying, like, with the Stone Roses, like, does the guy, he's probably, if you're in a Stone Roses tribute band, you're probably a decent singer, right? But does he, like, deliberately have to sing badly to sound like Ian Brown? Like, that's the...
No, he's really, he genuinely is that bad.
He's that bad. Okay,
I'm just joking, Steve.
Cool. All right, well, look, so very excited. So what's the, obviously we're in Southampton tonight. What have you got? What's the next? Oh, well, let's talk about Nico, right? So Nico... Tatarowitz, who was Matt Morgan's mate, who's been on the Oasis pod before. So, yeah, so he supported you a couple of times. How'd that come about?
I just messaged him on Instagram and said, do you fancy doing some gigs with us? I didn't know if he was going to go for it because I didn't know how Matt would react with, you know, because he has Nolan all the time, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how that would go down. But Nico was cool as fuck. He stayed with us last night, hung out, had beers. We had a fucking good laugh. He smashed it last night as well. I think the first time he played with us, he maybe didn't expect it to be quite what it was because we played a gig in Halifax and it was like a full venue. But then last night was sold out as well. So it was great. He's a fucking funny guy as well. He's a top bloke.
Excellent.
I listened to that podcast, you know, along with your podcast all the way and Matt's all the way through
Which
lockdown.
One's better, if you have to
be. It's a difficult question.
You can say it's Nico. That's fair enough.
Well, Nico and Matt's is funnier.
Yeah.
Yours is more information driven and informative.
Well,
that's
you.
A diplomatic answer. Proper diplomatic.
But no, you're right. Matt's is better. Yeah. Sure.
Nico's a top guy. I mean, I've interviewed him. I had a few messages over there.
He was good. Actually, he couldn't come. He got a night in London tonight. But he was genuinely like, oh fucking hell! If I'd have known, I would have come down. But
no, top man. And what was he doing? Just a few like his original tunes.
Well,
covers?
He did. I think he was doing all covers last night, but he's writing his own stuff.
Yeah,
and he just gets up and plays because he obviously busks a lot. He's got the Busking Chronicles podcast, and he's so natural and funny with the crowd because of his comedy writing.
Comedy, yeah.
So he just has a laugh with the crowd. It's great, actually. He really breaks to, you know, the part of the problem is a lot of the time. The stage and the crowd and there being a divide and you really need to cross that barrier Nico's brilliant at getting that straight from the support act from the warm up, so
that's good, mate.
Yeah,
that's
really cool.
good stuff. And so what's the plan then? So you've got, where are you on from now? Have you just like busy now?
We just had a run of shows. We've got one in April and we've got like holidays and weddings and family shit happening in May, so we tend to not hammer the band. We're not out every weekend, we're just out. But when we do go out, we try and do really good, you know, big gigs. So the next gig after that will actually be in Brighton, and Nico's going to support us there. Obviously, he lives in Brighton. So anyone that's out there wants to come and check out Nico, and we're playing with Happy Mondays, and then we'll be the Oasis band that we're headlining it as well. Excellent. And then we're playing in Portsmouth at the end of June, and Swansea. Got some big festivals happening. But yeah, it's a balancing act, because we all work, and just trying to do this as a bit of, you know, keep everybody out of the pub on a Saturday, really.
That's put on. And I think I might have pissed you off or upset you a little bit. It's fine, but I sort of was interviewing the guys from Oasis and saying, oh, they're the best Oasis tribute band out there.
That was fucking out of order. I was so upset when I listened to that.
You're bigger than me. But I think that was the spur that drove you on to then, like, you know, improve the band, get the brass in and the visuals and everything. So yeah, was that it? Is this?
Yeah, you. I was that deeply hurt that, to be fair, AKA I don't know the guy's name, Noel EG, and I've always thought that Oasis are the benchmark.
Oasis are great, aren't they?
The rest of them are kind of chances with the rest of us, but Oasis are at that level, I think.
Yeah. Oasis, AKA Noel G's, a top guy. I've not seen him, to be fair, but I've just from having interviewed and doing the videos and stuff, it's just that extra level. And when we did that interview after the pedal show, was AKA Noel, who did we have that? Was AKA Noel G
and
Noel from Oasis and you?
No, you asked me to do it, but I couldn't do it because I was working. I had work.
Oh, that's it.
And then I listened into it, and you were like, oh, I've got the best two Noels here. And I was like, for fuck's sake.
The podcast was shit.
Yeah, that was it. Good stuff. All right, well, look, you know, well, let's... so we've got, we've got the Smiths up in a minute, and then yourselves up after that. So, how you feeling? You up for it? You excited?
This is a great crowd. Bit tired. It's been... These guys drove 10 hours yesterday from Manchester. We're authentic. We came from Manchester.
Yeah.
They're actually from... Cheltenham, these guys, but they had to go via Manchester just to make it even more authentic. But we went through. just had to go around the M62 just to get in the spirit free. But it was a 9-hour journey, and then the 4-hour. You forget how long it is across the South Coast. It took 4 hours to get from Tavistock to here today. But everyone's had a Polish kebab. That's not a euphemism for anything. We've been looking forward to it because a few of the lads went to this kebab place last time, and a few missed it, and everyone's been buzzing about getting a kebab. So we all had a kebab, we had a few beers, and we're ready to go on stage.
Excellent. Cool. All right. Well, look, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. And and hopefully we'll get you back up to the top of the tribute band charts. Good. All right. Cheers, guys. Have a good gig.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. Cheers.
Right, guys, we've got two songs left. Thanks very much for having us back. The song's for my friend James, who runs the Oasis podcast. I'm not sure if any of you guys listen to that. Any Oasis podcasters in the room, but check out the badge. Always representing. And give it a listen. This one's called Don't Go Back in Anger.
So, as you heard, did you enjoy that clip there, Richard?
Yeah. Just for context, I didn't hear the clip. You know, this is, again, the wonders of technology. I don't feel like I'm unenthusiastic about it. I didn't hear it. That said, I did see the video that you posted over the weekend when you got the shout out. So, I've already, if it was that video that you're going to use, and it all gets a bit timey-wimey now, but if it was that one, then yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Actually, Ian was slagging you off. It was outrageous. I mean, you'll hear it on the episode, but no, so that was really good. And I'll tell you what, like, seeing an Oasis tribute band, and I haven't seen one for a while, actually, and I haven't seen one sober for a while because I was driving, and it was mad. Like, it was Southampton in a venue called the 1865, and it was really busy. There's a good sort of 400-500 people there, and rammed in, and like nutters, a lot of geezers coming out of the toilets kind of sniffing intently, and, you know, really busy kind of Saturday night.
And it was it was pretty bad. And actually just sitting back and listening to it and taking it in, I mean, this is not like I'm not gonna make you say anything like drastically controversial, but hearing those Oasis songs, it's like these are all so simple and catchy and powerful live songs. You know what I mean? This was a set they do, basically a greatest hit set with the likes of She's Electric and Half the World Away in there. So it's like all the big sing-along classics, and they do them really well. You know, they don't tend to dress up and things like that. You know, they don't bother with all the that side of it. They just play the music as closely as they possibly can, and then their big thing is the visuals in the background. And I was just like, these songs are brilliant. You know, they are just such great, like simple and so simple. And especially when you hear them in the live setting and you can hear the bass more clearly and you can pick out what the guitars are doing, and you think, these are really simple songs, but they're just so effective. And you see everyone going mad for them. So news flash, Oasis podcast hosts thinks Oasis are good.
Yeah, they were all right, weren't they? They were all right. They had some tunes, undeniably. That's probably why they're, the generation after generation is informed by them. Like they are, for want of a better expression, they're timeless classics. You know, they have the same effect because they are quite simple. You know, as you say, they're simple and powerful, the two words obviously you use, but it's that stuff never dies. You know, similar to the Beatles or similar to all the kind of classic bands. It's like the reason they're great will echo for 30 years in Oasis' case so far, and likely for they'll likely outlast us. Similar, yeah, like I say, similar to all the greats. So yeah, they were all right. They're a decent band.
Good band, yeah, good band. And it's just mad to see like so many people going completely nuts for a tribute band. You know, people videoing the tribute band. Why are you videoing a tribute band? It's not the real people. But
Weren't you video the tribute band?
I videoed, no, I didn't video it actually. That was Ian set up the camera
Oh yeah.
the whole gig, and he sent me the clip. I took a couple of
Oh
pictures.
yeah.
Mainly, the reason I took a couple of pictures because for the last tune, the Liam, the singer, he comes on with a guitar, and he did it, and I thought, whoa, hold on, I'm not having this.
Come on,
Yeah,
well, transgression,
I know.
transgression. What are you doing?
But then he did say something like, yeah, before you say it, that's right, Liam never played a guitar in Oasis, but you can fuck off, like, blah, 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 whatever. So you think, oh, fair enough, you're putting a hat on
Yeah,
it.
fair play.
So but no, it was good. And so if you're checking out Oasis tributes, then you can't go wrong with Oasis Supernova. There you go. There you go, Ian. £10. Okay. Anyway, so Richard, so you saw the actual people, not the lookalike version. So which one was first? Noel at Teenage Cancer Trust.
Yeah, Noel at the Albert Hall last Thursday. So he'd done. I mean, I was determined. I was like, right, I saw Noel twice last year, same set, and he did the same set of the arena dates, but he made allusions on Matt Morgan that he was going to be doing mixing set up a little bit. And I was like, right, I'm going to do my best to avoid seeing any of the set lists. And I've got my own self to blame as well, because I mentioned it on the discourse to Ryan Harvey as well. And then I think pretty much as it happened, I was getting the set list through. I literally couldn't avoid it. Like next day as well. There's always, you because following all these various Oasis accounts on Instagram, or just the algorithms that I'm an Oasis fan come up, it's just like, okay, so he did Stand By Me. And right, okay. So I knew pretty much what was going to happen. Although he didn't actually play Love Will Tear Us Apart, which I think he did at a couple of the warm-up shows, which I like that version of the song. I know a lot of people don't, but for me, it's like, well, I haven't seen it live, so for completeness' sake, I want that. But I didn't, but don't get that. I got the Mighty Quinn instead, which is fine. Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, things because Noel loves the Albert Hall, and the acoustics are so good. You know, there were three or four gigs in, but not. They were probably just approaching Match Fitness, or indeed at Match Fitness. So everything just seemed to fall into place. Everything seemed to gel. Of the songs that weren't included last year, it was good to see Lock All the Doors back,
Yeah.
which was good. I personally, because Talk Tonight comes and goes, and you know my feelings on Half the World Away. I feel like that the way you feel about Columbia, and obviously those two are kind of peas in the pod. It was always a bit like, oh, okay, well, Half the World Away, which was there, was played, but Talk Tonight to me is the better of the two. To see that was great. Obviously, the version of Stand By Me was good, but I'd seen it a couple of years ago when he did it at the Wall Festival Hall with Peter Blake. So, it was great. The Grey Walls, great song, and it's great to see Noel kind of acknowledging that. And you know, I'm sure the Halifax adverts haven't had anything to do with the fact that Noel's now decided to put those into his live sets, and the fact that everyone kind of knows it again or knows it now. But yeah, it was brilliant. It was just like everyone was in good form. You know, the set. Oddly, I was looking through the previous set lists, and there wasn't really much changes. He took out the importance of being idle. Then he added, as I say, Lock All the Doors and Stand By Me and Talk Tonight. So it seemed like it was a bigger set than last year's shows. Yeah. The new stuff still sounds great. I think the songs he shows, I'd have liked him to mix that section up a little bit, like maybe put Think of a Number in, although I think he said he can't make that one work live, or maybe change up the High Flying Bird stuff. But as I say, they got Lock All the Doors was added in as well. So Dead in the Water is still a special moment. I might need to get dropped every time I've seen it. It's special and continues to be. So just him and acoustic, and that's always the kind of the midpoint between the two sets. Yeah, as I said in a very cheesy kind of Instagram post, the High Flying Birds continues to soar. It was brilliant.
But that's awesome. And from what I was hearing on Discord, I can't remember who said it actually, but I think the general consensus is Jess is the current MVP of the High Flying Birds. Would you concur?
Yeah, I would disagree with that. But we had great seats. Great position. So we were probably, 20 feet away from like the centre. Directly in my eye line was Noel. So to be honest, I wasn't really looking much beyond him. But yeah, I mean, Jess is great. I think Gem took an additional guitar solo because he does it for Lock All the Doors. And he did that last year as well. I think he took it for another one. And I can't, not Going Nowhere as well, because that was also last year. Noel. I think Noel's taken on a new one as well as Don't Look Back in Anger.
Okay.
But I can't for the life of me remember which one it was. So if anyone was there and can recall that, or if I'm just talking out my backside because I may have had a couple of drinks. But I'm sure, which was quite nice to see because, you know, it's nice to see him. I think I've said, I forget if I've said this on the podcast before, but like a few months ago, I watched an Oasis video. I think it was like the Glastonbury set. And it was like, oh, I do miss Noel, the guitarist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I do really miss that. Regardless of what you think of, you know, his ability, he always... I don't know. For me, he was always fun to watch. It was great fun to watch him. So it was nice to see that kind of, if I'm right, it's nice to see that gradually kind of coming back in as well. Because, you know, it's I know he prefers to be the songwriter or the singer and the songwriter and stuff. But people always say he's an underrated guitarist.
Mm.
So it's nice to see a bit more of that.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you don't have to be the best guitar player in the world to just like be a, you know. Do some really good guitar playing, right? So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's fine. And I know what you mean. Like I miss it when you see Oasis, like, because that is part of the charm. And even watching the tribute band, it's like seeing Ian do it, I'm like, yeah, you know, I miss seeing Noel do those guitar solos and just them being kind of in that, the bigger and bolder versions of those songs with just loads of loud amps and, you know, and then Noel's blistering guitar solos. It's a different sound, but yeah, no, that's interesting.
But like I say, I'm sure that happened, but I haven't been able to see anyone verify that or indeed anyone confirm that. And my friend, we can't really place which tune it was, so might have just been talking nonsense. One thing I want to say about the show as well: the visuals were great. And once they were performing with a big screen behind them in the Albert Hall, which I don't know I've ever seen before. I think it's been relatively stripped back. But I hadn't been to the Albert Hall in about 10 years, to be fair. But that was quite, it was, like I said, the visuals and that was really great as well. And yeah, as I say, you know, just the High Flying Birds are just so, it's hard to really comment on the High Flying Birds when you see them quite a lot, because they're just so consistent. Do you know what I mean? They're so, consistent. There's no better word for it than that. They're on point all the time.
Mm.
I'm sure they feel there's better shows than others, but it's hard to really notice as a punter. You know, it's not the drama we used to get with Oasis, obviously. It's just much more yeah, steady and yeah, and they just seem to be just yeah, was really happy and enjoying playing with each other as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And in terms of the crowd as well, was it pretty chilled? Was there any limbs at all in like Little by Little or whatever? Or is it all pretty much just people chilling and nodding and enjoying?
Well, again, we were quite close to the front. I didn't really look. I mean, I looked back on a few occasions. There was lots of hands in the air and, you know, little by little got a great sing along. I mean, the thing is, the acoustics in that venue, you know, you can hear people singing quite loud and quite proud. Generally, that's just kind of the vibe of the room. But yeah, it was a good crowd. The atmosphere was great. Like, it's hard to describe what the atmosphere necessarily, what made it great. There wasn't limbs or anything. It's not that type of thing. But like, it just felt like it was just a lot of love in the room, I think. The kind of charity element always helps as well. And I think it's that whole thing, isn't it? If the band are having a good time, they're having a good time. Saw quite a few kind of like other Oasis fans. Met Kyle for a beer beforehand, and he had the whole Oasis collectors group room there, and met a couple of them. And then I randomly ran into Adam Thompson because you stood next to him at the gig, so we had a bit of a chat. Yes, Kyle had his, which I didn't clock until afterwards, but Kyle had his flag for his new Bittersweet Home in one flying out from one of the boxes, which is quite funny to see the pictures online afterwards. But yeah, it was just good vibes, man. You know, it was everyone just seemed to be in the right place. You know, there's just those moments you get when, you know, everyone's in simpatico and just everyone's enjoying the gig, the audience responding, the band responding to the audience enjoying the gig. It was just, yeah, it was a middle-class crowd, I suppose you could say, but, you know, it's the Albert Hall, so, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. And then, we haven't talked about Liam and John in terms of the album either, have we? I read your review of it, obviously. And then, so give us your thoughts on the album first off, I suppose.
Well, that was quite a funny one, because I wrote a preview piece for, a review piece for Just Another Rainbow for Clash, who very kindly came back to me like that week, which is what, the second week of January, and very kindly said, oh, would you like to do a review of the album? I was like, fucking yes, of course I would. But I only had 2 days to turn it round. So I was given it like on the Thursday, and I had to be ready because it was going in the print magazine, which has just landed, and it's the latest issue is currently on your shelves. So if you want to read my review in print, it's there. Go to your local W.H. Smith. But within those 3 days, I listened to it four or five times, and I was like, okay. But I think it took everyone a little bit like by surprise. Like, I think for me, Just Another Rainbow was kind of what you'd imagine a Liam Gallagher, John Squire thing to be, you know, in kind of Stone Roses-y with Liam singing it. Yes, the rainbow thing didn't get a lot of love, but I think time has been quite kind to that. And, you know, Liam's made the point. It's like, it's kind of like Piper at the Gates of Dawn and, you know, it's all too much. It's kind of like childish nursery rhymes intentionally to be part of the song. I think time will continue to dull the ever so slight naffness of that. Was the rest of the album's generally quite, covers a lot of different areas of, you know, traditional rock and roll. We've got, you know, I'm a Wheel, which I think is quite Hendrix-y. You know, I think you pointed out that I'm So Bored is very Who indebted. And after seeing it on Monday, I'd say it's generally overall quite 60s. I think it's like, what did I describe it as in my review? Paperback Writers, like Malevolent Little Brother. I think it's kind of got that kind of vibes with it. And then you've got the kind of slightly more pastoral stuff with Mother Nature's song. So it's very, yeah, it's quite, it's quite surprising in that respect, really. I just assumed, even though John Squire, you know, with the Stone Roses singles that came out a few years ago and with the Seahorses, he's long since moved away from that first album sound. But yeah, it's got a lot more kind of traditional, it's like bluesy, it's like rock and roll album. And yeah, I think it's really enjoyable. I don't think it's the best thing that either of them put their name to, but I don't think either of them would claim that either. But yeah, just a good fun rock album. It's quite funny now. It's almost done. Do you know what I mean? It's almost finished. Like, I think Liam and John have got the playing. I think it's Berlin, Paris, and Milan next week. Then literally one show in New York later in April, and then that's it. I think, as far as I know, that's done. And then Liam moves on to Definitely Maybe. So it's like, okay, came and went almost.
I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's like, okay, you have this slot for it. Get it done.
Mm.
Album, gigs, done. Right, next. Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's smart though. It's good. I like it. It's just like you then don't have such a massive build up. You know what I mean? Like, when it is the new whoever album and it's coming up and you've got all the build up to it and it comes up and then if you then haven't got anything for like another 2 years, then that was all you had. You know what I mean? Whereas, and then you sort of more focused on it. Where it's like, okay, he did an album not too long ago. Now is this new one? It's a side project, effectively, and then on he goes. You know, on he goes to the Definitely Maybe shows, and then the arena shows, and then and then there'll be another album, I imagine. So it's just like we just keep trucking, don't we? And it's not. I think you need to be so precious about them. It's fine. I love that. Yeah, I mean, like we've got, like we said, Noel's going to be doing a song with the Black Keys, aren't we? And like, you know, so. So if you can just sort of, I don't think you need to, we don't need to sort of be so, like, you can allow them to have these sort of, you know, maybe it's not a 9 out of 10, but hey, doesn't matter. It's just like a great 45 minute fun rock and roll record, and then on we move. So yeah. Yeah. But anyway, what about the live? What about the live then? Where did you, was it Kentish Town you saw them?
Yeah, Kentish Town Forum. I was in the, was in the press bit, so I kind of met with a few people of Clash afterwards, but we were on the balcony. So, I mean, maybe it was because of Monday night, maybe because it's London, doesn't generally have particularly up for it crowds. But from where I was looking, it didn't look like the crowd was particularly up for it. But I imagine it's obviously very difficult. Sorry, very different being in the balcony to being amongst it. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to get look at it, see what the crowd was like. But crowd seemed into it, but it was, I think, once the novelty of seeing Liam Gallagher and John Squire wear off, it's a bit like, I don't know how well they necessarily knew the songs. Do you know what I mean? Because inevitably there would have been punters there who've been like, I'm a big Stone Roses fan, big Oasis fan, and went there and went, oh, they don't play any of those. Right, okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they would have been purely the hardcore who would have known that it's those 10 songs, Jumping Jack Flash, and that's it, you're out. So, oh, you're done, sorry. So it's, yeah, it was, the atmosphere was not unusual, but seemed a bit subdued, I would say. But, you know, well, for example, Raise Your Hands, right? That is a song that is asking for crowd participation, right? It's, I mean, they're asking for literal crowd participation. And I would say probably 30% of the crowd did it, probably engaged in it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, that was, we still got the Liam chance and that kind of stuff. And there was still that kind of element to it, but it didn't, I don't know. It was something you just couldn't quite put your finger on. Maybe, I mean, I guess, again, you know, the album's only been out for what, three and a bit weeks when that show was. So I suppose that's not a huge amount of time for people to familiarise themselves with it. Maybe there'll be a bigger response for the next round of shows when they've got two albums out. You know, I think that's probably fair, or maybe later in the year if they did some shows, they might get a bigger response. But it was still a chance to see John Squire, who you rarely see, you know, in such close proximity. We rarely see full stop, let alone in such close proximity. And he was everything you want John Squire to be. You know, I'd have liked it if there had been a few more kind of wig outs, you know, like Just Another Rainbow, I think, is begging. Well, I think Liam said, didn't he? Like, he should hear the full versions. I was like, right. 9 minute wig out, 9-10 minute wig out for John Squire. Yes, please. But we didn't get much of that. No. There was a couple of I think Raise Your Hands got a bit of an extended ending. I think I'm a Wheel did as well. But other than that, it was relatively straightforward. But with John Squire's, you know, guitar on the album, you know, it's a pleasure enough to see that live. Powerful little unit, given there's only five of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Jerry Wawonka. Yeah. We're saying it, we're good on that. He did a great I'd say he was actually Barry Cardigan was great as well. They were just a great band, you know what I mean? There was, yeah, Christy Madden on keys as well. But like, for example, Joey did a great Charlie Watts on Jumpin' Jack Flash. I mean, I would say probably Jumpin' Jack Flash is probably the highlight. Yeah. Just because it was quite kind of freewheeling, and obviously the crowd knew it a lot more. You could tell they love it. Liam, I think those lyrics, you know, I was born in a crossfire hurricane, all that sort of stuff. You know, that's the sort of stuff that Liam loves getting his teeth into, and you can tell. You could really tell it was kind of the snotty, I think I said, like the snotty lyrics he loves, and he's probably enjoying it. But yeah, it was a really good night, a really good show. It was quite funny seeing like Liam almost like when there were kind of wig outs, all the long outros, Liam was like, all right, I'm off. Yeah. And he was like, it's, you know, hark back to the Oasis days. He hasn't done that for 15 years, has he? Because yeah. I don't think he ever did it during BDI. And then obviously in his solo shows, he's the man, isn't he? So he can't really walk off stage. No. It's not really appropriate. No.
I suppose he's the man, as in he's the person everyone's there to see, but also those songs haven't been devised with these long, you know, those, all of his solo stuff is very much designed to be, you know, showcases for Liam, really, aren't they? There isn't like long 5-minute guitar solos or whatever, because it's not about, you know, whoever doing a guitar solo, it's about Liam. And so, and so he doesn't, and I suppose also he's kind of the boss, isn't he? It's his show. He needs to kind of check the, not check the levels and things, you know what I mean? But he's there, he's got to be there. Whereas, yeah, actually, well, what's going to happen now? 3 minutes of John Squire wigging out? Oh, I'm just going to have a sit down or a lay down.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, footage of him, he's actually laid down on the ground. Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah. But he must be like, God, I'm literally, he must, I suppose because he's been freed of some bit of responsibility, he's like, well, what would I do? Prowl around the stage, which, you know, he does excellently, but it's like, well, yeah, what, you know, there is only so many tricks in his repertoire in terms of what he could do. But yeah, it's always funny when he kind of does something new and random like that. Yeah. I suppose, just back up what you say, like when you've got those three as well, like, sorry, those four musicians must be like, well, do you know what I mean? I don't need to check on them. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to be here to make sure everything's ticking over. So you could feel almost a bit of relief from Liam, I felt. It was a bit like, I think he quite liked being part of that dynamic. And I think he's now in that sweet spot, isn't he? Where he's, going back to what you said a minute ago, he's got the best of both worlds. Potentially, he's got a decent songwriter and a brilliant musician writing stuff. And then he's got the Oasis stuff, you know, because he said, I don't know if you read his interview with Mojo, but he said like for the nostalgia tours and celebration tours, he's like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do every one of them. I'll do Dig Out Your Soul 30 years. Do you know what I mean? So from that, you can assume there's going to be a Morning Glory one next year.
Yeah,
you know, possibly a Be Here Now in a couple of years' time. So it's like if he can slot those, you know, make that and the John Squire collaboration work, he's in. You know, he's got the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do a second album then?
I think Liam said a things on Twitter. He's like, yeah, I'll be up for it.
Okay. Yeah, because to me it feels like, you know, especially just in the interviews and everything, it's like, you know, John's like, oh well, I've got these songs. All right, John, we'll do it. But whether or not now, because it's, I know it went to number one, but I know because obviously the reception hasn't been that great. Then I wonder if Liam will do it again, or if he'll just like, even if John came back and said, oh, I've got some more songs there. Yeah, we're okay, actually. Thanks, John. So, you know what I mean?
I'm being on stage with John Squire. They're the fucking top fucking band, so I've got to be right on my fucking game. Hence why I'm like having face packs and fucking early nights. Here it comes again. Here it comes
and stays around for a while.
I think it's got legs, man. I think it could be a good thing, and I think it'd be rude not to do another album.
Yeah, I suppose the live, I mean, yeah, they'd have to work out what they're going to do with the live thing, because actually similarly with there being no Oasis songs, I got maybe that's the thing with the crowd, actually thinking about it. I remember having the same thoughts as when the BDI did the first album, when they didn't do any Oasis tunes. It was like, you felt like the crowd were expecting more because it's Liam Gallagher, therefore they think of Oasis tunes. I think there was maybe that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
I think they probably might give it a second album, because as I say, they'll have a bigger catalogue of things to choose from them. But it might get to a point where it might have to be like, actually, do you know what I mean? Are we gonna including Stone Roses or Oasis tunes? And you know, Noel's obviously said he wouldn't be happy with John Squire doing his thing, but then you know, Champagne Supernova, obviously he's done that.
Yeah.
But I think there'll be a second one. Yeah, I think Liam loves John too much than not to be, to be honest.
No, fair play. No, I just don't know. I can't see it. I suppose it's just because of the reception, I suppose. I just assume that it'll be a one and done. But you never know. I would like, you know, I think that's it. I was thinking the example of, like, I was at Comic-Con last year, right? London Comic-Con. And the actor Andrew Scott was interviewed on stage. But it was right in the middle of the strike, the actor's strike. And so you're thinking, I want to hear him talk about Sherlock. I want to hear him talk about, like, you know, all of these other amazing things he's done. But all he could do was talk about the play he's in. And you're like, I don't want to hear you talk about your play. I want to hear you talking about, you know, the TV shows and the films. But you couldn't, you know, you couldn't do it because obviously it was struck. So you're like, okay, well, we're here with this super famous, amazing actor who's got all of these brilliant shows and films under his belt. But we're talking about his, you know, playing Hamlet or whatever. No, I know what you mean. It just does feel like, why are you not dropping in a couple at least? But, you know, maybe, you know, obviously that band would have had to rehearse them and get them all ready.
Yeah.
It is such a tight turnaround, I suppose. So.
I suppose it's that thing as well. Like, do you do more? I think it would have been nice to have a 12 song set. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think maybe another cover would have been nice. But, you know, I'm thinking another reason possibly why they only did, well, they've only done, you know, they'll only go to the early April, is obviously it gives Liam 6 weeks off before Definitely Maybe shows, but it might be for John as well. It might be like, actually, he can suss out how he likes getting out back out there again and doing like the slightly smaller venues and stuff.
Yeah.
But he looked like he was enjoying himself to me. I didn't see that he was having any problems at all. So, yeah, I reckon, as I say, because Liam's got the best of both worlds now, I would say there's probably going to be a second album. But who knows? I mean, Liam's track record, everything he touches turns to gold, doesn't it? So you say, like, you know, the reception to the album wasn't great, but it went, as you say, it went to number one. People bought it.
Yes, but it's one of those, you know what I mean? It's not going to go on to platinum status or whatever the status. It's always good. Anything he releases is going to have that immediate impact, but it hasn't had the cultural sort of... you know, continuance. It's like, okay, you did that thing and then it's over, you know.
But then, where does he go from Nebworth?
Sorry?
But then where does he go from Nebworth? Do you know what I mean? I suppose it's a winning formula, yeah, but I imagine even for Liam, who's, you know, quite, plays things quite safe, that is going to be quite boring. So I guess for him, the John Squire thing is mixing things up a little bit as well. But who knows? You know, who knows? Who knows what will happen, you know? John Squire might decide he didn't like him, wants to be recluse again or whatever, you know. It's impossible to say because, you know, he's not going to tell us, is he? So,
no, absolutely. Cool. All right, well, that's good. Although I did get out live the other day and saw the best band in the country, or not in this, they're currently in this country, but they're from another country, which is the Mary Wallopers.
How was that?
Amazing. I saw them on St. Pat, and I think this is probably why my voice is still knackered from that, to be honest. But they were absolutely incredible on St. Patrick's Day in Bristol Academy. Great venue, by the way. I've never been to Bristol Academy before.
Tried it.
Absolutely brilliant. I love the layers. I was there with my brother and sisters, and so the sisters are both really short. So the fact that they could go up the levels and then go on the, so everyone could get a great view. It was, and but then down the front. And as I said, the most gigs I've been to recently, it tends to be like your 90s artists. They're a bit more chilled out. Or, I've seen pop artists like Beyonce and Hozier and people like that in the last couple of years, which doesn't tend to be crazy. Whereas this was absolutely mad. This was like the high days of the Pogues, or like when having gone to see bands in the mid 90s and it just being completely nuts. And like young kids, then old farts like us, and just... crazy, absolutely insane, but But yeah, and live, because the on record they're very folky, you know, but then on the live it was it's still the same instruments, and you're thinking, how are they getting that reaction literally from an acoustic guitar and a banjo and a tin whistle, you know? But it was absolutely amazing. So you missed a good one that night.
This is a Florida song called Streams of Whiskey. R.I.P. Shane.
Yeah, well, I was watching Bill Ryder Jones, who was great in his own way. So, yeah, I'm not sorry about it. But yeah, I read a lot about Mary Wallopers. I read the Wallopers. Oh, we've had this, haven't we? Yeah, I've read a lot about how they're kind of really on fire at the moment. They're kind of Irish, which is Ireland's just doing ridiculous in music terms anyway at the moment. Anyway, and then you have the kind of the folk element. Yeah, it's funny about the Academy. I've got muso friends who really don't like it. They reckon the sound's terrible.
All right.
I don't have that sort of ear. I say it's fucking horrible to be in there when it's sold out. I'll say that much. It's just body to body the whole way through. It's just awful. But yeah, like, I don't mind the Academy. I went there till on Saturday night to watch Yard Act and basically Johnny Marr there in a couple of weeks as well. And it's Bristol's until the city gets a fucking arena, whenever that's going to be. It's Bristol's biggest venue, really. So
Yeah.
you always can get if anyone wants to, do a gig in town. It's only anyone of any reasonable size wants to do a gig in town. It's generally Academy, but yeah, I quite yeah, I quite like it.
Cool. Good stuff. Anything else you want to discuss? That anything that we've forgotten?
Anything classic-y? Well, I've heard the Black Keys tunes because I've got the album to review.
Have you?
I mean, I'm not. The thing is, it's although they're Noel, some of the three of them are Noel co-written tunes. One of them is called "On the Game," and it sounds like a Noel big kind of arms aloft kind of anthem, but it's a bit of a plodder, and it's the Black Keys doing it rather than Noel, so it kind of it lacks what probably the heartfelt delivery of it, I would say. "You'll Pay" is a bit of a Bond tune, actually. I think it's got a kind of elements of Bond to it, which makes it stand out. But the best of three, I'd say, is "Only Love," which is kind of a bit of a stomper, or "Only Love Matters," I think it's called. I'm not sure which on my stream of it is says. Well, the stream says one thing, the bio says another. It's either "Only Love" or "Only Love Matters." But anyway, yeah, it's a bit of a stomper. It's quite good. It's probably the most direct and most impactful of the three. So that's out next week, I think, the 4th of April. That album. And the other thing to say is, and no doubt people will have heard it by the time this is out, but the Ride album as well is superb. Interplay, it's brilliant. Their seventh studio album out tomorrow as we're recording this, which will be the 29th of March. They go from I think they go from strength to strength. They've added so many more kind of sonics to their sound. If anyone who's heard the three singles, well, which ones are singles, who knows? But let's say for sake of argument, all three of them released so far are singles. That is a reflection of the album, but there's so much more to it as well. There's so many bigger, broader songs. Like there's some kind of odysseys, and there's quite a lot of sci-fi tints to it. There's a bit of Tears for Fears in there. They're kind of like Boards of Canada, kind of glitchy instrumentation. It's brilliant, as I say. And I'm lucky enough to be seeing them live next week in Rough Trade, doing a strip back thing. So yeah, get on that would be my advice.
Excellent. Nice one. Okay, mate. Well, that's absolutely brilliant. And yeah, what you got coming up in 1 minute?
In 1 minute? Well, I've had a bit of a quiet winter, really, because I went to the Sphere to see you two, so I've tried to keep things on a bit of a...
I have mentioned it, but
you know, we've not spoken since I saw it, and I'm still on a bit of a high from it. But I've got, yeah, as I say, got Black Keys review coming out, reviewing the Libertines album. It's coming out soon. A few other interviews, a few other bits and bobs on the go. Maybe a couple of, well, I've got 4 books I'm hopeful going to come out before the end of the year, but we'll see. I've got one's written. I've started researching on the other one, and there's another one in the pipeline. I've got another idea for one after that, but yeah, Jesus. Watch this space.
Prolific. All right, mate. Great to speak to you. Catch you soon.
Anyway, take care.
All right, thank you very much to Richard. Great to catch up, as always. And 4 books this year. What the hell is that all about? 4 books. Madness. Right, a couple of bits. So one thing I thought was quite fun, I tweeted at Andy Bell and Ride, sort of saying that I'd enjoyed the album, basically bigging up the album, and I'd got a nice response from Andy. The other day I tweeted about the song Millionaire, because I was listening to it. I'm doing a sort of a big re-listen of all the post-Oasis albums at the moment, and for an upcoming ranking episode, and I was listening to Millionaire, and I'd never kind of figured out what the opening line is of Millionaire. It's just one of those ones that you just sing a lot. And it's actually, it sings about going from Cadaqués to Figueres. It's actually talking about like a road trip. And so I thought that was fun. I put that on Twitter, like named the BDI song and did like a Google Maps from the between the two places. Sweet Cadaqués to Figueres, a 40-minute ride. You drive it and I'll spend it. And I sort of tagged Andy Bell because it says in there, like, it's a 40-minute ride. And I sort of said, traffic must have got worse over the last 13 years, or Andy Bebop drives fast. And Andy replied, he said, brilliant, haha, make sure you play Pink Floyd Metal on the journey. And so I replied, so the mention of metal in the chorus is a reference to the Pink Floyd album Metal. I get that Sweet Salvador is Dali, as he was from Figueres. And Andy said, yes, I was staying with a friend in Cadaqués. We drove from the lighthouse to Figueres to visit the Dali Museum and had a medal playing. Perfect soundtrack, but you have to make it in 40 minutes. Love it. That's what I love. I love getting these little nuggets of information. Fantastic. So thank you, Andy, for replying. What I'd love to do, I interviewed Andy before, and we sort of went through each of his individual songs that he'd written for Oasis. I'd love to do that for BDI. Just get a few more of these stories and find out a bit more. It'd be great. So anyway, so that was cool. Also, we've had a message in from Sunil.
Hi, James. I just wanted to say congratulations on 250 episodes of the Oasis podcast. That's an incredible achievement. And thank you for all the time and effort you put into each and every episode. It's very much appreciated by listeners like me. I also just wanted to give you a quick review of Liam Gallagher and John Squire at Troxy in London on Tuesday, the 26th of March. It was a bit of an impromptu gig for us. I tried, like I'm sure lots of people did, to get tickets when they first came out, but they're all sold out pretty much instantly. And then I saw just before the day that there were some tickets appearing on fan swap sort of websites, and managed to get some, and we went along, and the first thing to say is the venue is really cool. It was an art deco kind of place, very different from where I've seen Oasis and Liam previously, but it was really, really nice. The atmosphere was very, very relaxed and chilled, and just generally a very sort of happy vibe, and people just seemed to be really up for it. and it was nice to see his son Gene and his Mrs. Debbie just there right near us, just in the crowd. No one seemed to bother them, and they were just very happy, and they looked like they really enjoyed the show. Liam was on good form. He was saying various things. He made a bit of a joke about there not being much banter from him in other shows, which I guess is a bit of a response to people criticizing or saying that. He made a joke at the end about it being the last straw, having sort of chewed on various straws throughout the gig for whatever reason. I'll send you a little clip I've got of that. And the other thing was, it was very apparent that it was a sort of shared spotlight between him and John Squire. When he wasn't singing, he very much sort of went to the side of the stage and was in the dark, and he left the spotlight to John Squire, who unsurprisingly didn't say anything, but was absolutely amazing. And the sound from him and the rest of the band was just unbelievable, really, really good. Something I've not really heard before. It just sounded so clean, and they were so tight as a band, very different from other gigs where I've seen Liam and Oasis. And the other thing to say was the songs were sounded so much better live. I mean, I agree with what a lot of people say about the album and the lyrics and so on, but they sounded incredible live, and I really enjoyed the album since going to that gig. So definitely makes a difference, and they definitely come alive being played in a venue like that and live, obviously. So all in all, it was really, really great gig. Really enjoyed it. And seems like they're going to do a second album, maybe another tour. So if anyone was not going to go because they're not playing Oasis songs or anything like that, I would say well worth seeing them live. It was really good. And thank you once again for everything you do on the podcast. It's absolutely brilliant. Keep up the good work and look forward to the next 250 episodes. Thanks a lot. Take care and see you soon. Cheers.
Cheers, Sunil. Much appreciated. Next 250. Christ, another 250. Well, who knows? We'll see if we can get there. We've got to finish the A to Z. That's what I keep saying. We've got to finish the A to Z. Gee, someone said to me on YouTube the other day, like, RIP Oasis A to Z, like sad faced. I'm like, it will come back. It's just been too much going on. Oh dear. Anyway, I think that will do it then. Thank you very much for listening. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. Oh, something that's happening. I'm just waiting to see, actually. Matt Morgan has, he put a message out saying that he's, you know, when he's going to interview Noel, and he asks for questions. And the person that gets like the most likes gets their question asked. And I asked a question. And so, yeah, I'm waiting to see whether my question gets asked, because it's always nice to hear the Oasis podcast mentioned on Matt Morgan and see what Noel says. So it'll be very interesting if it does. So come back next week and we'll find out if it got answered. What a cliffhanger. That will do it. As I said, thanks to patrons. Give us a follow on social media at Oasis Podcast. To be honest, I've kind of given up on Instagram and Facebook. I do need to get back on those, I suppose. Follow the YouTube channel. I haven't done a video version for this one today, but there will be more video versions coming. Next up, I think we're going to do this ranking, updated album ranking. I'm going to go through what you guys ranked the albums as, and also I'm going to go through, I should be recording with James Hargreaves in a couple of weeks. We're going to do our individual album rankings of all the post-Oasis albums. So that should be good. All right, that'll do it then. Thank you very much for listening. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
You know, We Can't Go Back was back in, right, as well. So I don't think that's that. I don't know if that was there on last tour.
That was in there. That was their last summer. Yeah. Well, last about the arena dates, but it was, he definitely played it when I saw him at Crystal Palace and Taunton.
Oh, fair enough. I don't think he played it on the shortened ones, like the Glastonbury appearance and things like that. I don't think he played it, but yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, that was the tour before last. That was like 2022. He didn't play at Glastonbury last year.
Oh, who knows what the fucking day it is, the year it is, Richard. Jesus Christ. Okay.
If you're gonna make such big statements, just be right. That's all I ask. Do you know what I mean? Just stop talking out your ass. Just plucking out, you know. Hopefully that's to be once in the last few years. No chance.
Not hear this.
Keep this in.
I was thinking about the other day. You know that that YouTuber, that football YouTuber called Mark Goldbridge. I don't know if you follow him at all. He does a lot of Man United stuff, but he gets a lot of criticism because he's like a massive Man United fan. I think he's from Nottingham, but he doesn't ever go to the gigs. He does like Talk Sport and he does his own YouTube channel. And so all of the gigs is like all the matches are just him, like sat in front of his computer doing like, you know, reactions and stuff. And
oh yeah, another time.
Like him off because they're like, you never go to the games. How can you call yourself a fan? And then when I like don't see those, and then I'm sort of talking to you, I'm like, I'm the fucking Mark Goldbridge of Oasis. Am I sitting here like talking to other people who've gone to see them live and I haven't gone to see them?
Yeah, you've got no excuse for not catching Noel at some point last year. That is poor form. No. Yeah, he had so many opportunities to see him last year.
I know. Life gets in the way, but that is an excuse.
I suppose you have just forked out for a massive studio in your garden, so I suppose that's fair enough.